Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 11th of March, recording at 9:34 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first let's have a quick look at the week. Asian stock markets had been firm at the beginning of the week for the first 3 days, but succumbed to some profit-taking Thursday and Friday, partly in response to the corrective phase currently underway on Wall Street, and that is certainly influenced by events in the Middle East and the spike in crude oil prices in particular. Now, Wall Street, incidentally, broke its string of weekdays in here with a modest rally today, with the S&P 500 index closing back above 1300. It's currently 1304 and a quarter, and that was up, that's a close of course, and that was up 0.71%. Long-dated government bond prices mostly rose on the week, with yields falling somewhat therefore. But the European bond, no, that was true. That carried right on through the week. Although the U.S. 30-year bonds closed well off their highs, those bond prices, that is, and were just about unchanged on the day today. Now, the dollar had steadied a little bit earlier in the week, but was clipped in here today. For example, the euro is back up to 139, and it had softened earlier in the week on concern over the Southern European debt financing. And the Australian dollar, having moved briefly below parity, but it's back up to 101.45. Precious metals, we've had a shakeout here this week. Now, silver is stronger today. That's about the firmest, at 35.91. Gold is $6 higher today, up to 418. And platinum is $16 higher today, up to 1782. So, off the lows. The weakest one overall here really now has been palladium. Currently 757. The industrial metals were mostly weaker. Copper had been hit fairly hard, but managed to close well off its early low today. Got down to 408 cents and closed at 423.50. That was up 375 on the day. The soft commodities mostly weakened. The biggest selling pressure appears to have been in the all-important grain and bean sector, which fell very sharply, including today, although rough rice, which had been limit down for several days or thereabouts, did that again this morning, but then rallied and closed almost unchanged on the day. But on the week, the grain and bean sector fell quite a bit. And as I say, commodity prices were generally a bit weaker. Crude is easier in here today, with the NYMEX crude at just above 100, $100.61 today. So they've eased off their highs. And if I just get the Brent price here as well, that's down at $2 today. It's 113.44. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, let's first set the scene here. Asian stock markets, which had been such strong performers really from June until well up into November, and in some instances beyond, had been experiencing from there on. They had been experiencing some mean reversions towards the rising 200-day moving averages. Now I'm thinking particularly of the markets that had been performing very strongly. That was India. It was the ASEAN group of stock markets, and so they saw these pullbacks, corrections to their rising 200-day moving averages, and have been firming from those levels before catching some of the sentiment on Wall Street. Now, the European stock markets and Wall Street had lagged for much of last year, but then really took up the baton from really from September onwards, and saw some outstanding gains overall, and became quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. And they have recently commenced a mean reversion process, and I think are still susceptible to that overall. And then we've got to mention Japan in the context of this horrendous tsunami that's taken place. There were only, I think there was less than half an hour before between when the earthquake actually struck and the Japanese stock market closed. So we shouldn't be too surprised if there's some follow-on weakness come Monday in Japan. But fortunately, the effect of the tsunami was devastating where it hit in Japan. But fortunately, it has caused no additional damage around the world, and there was quite a bit of concern about that early this morning, as I'm sure you're aware. Now, what about this stock market environment going forward? Crude oil is all important, and investors are very nervous about it. A lot of reports have come out recently extrapolating the rise that we've seen in crude oil, and when you get surprise events such as we've seen in the Middle East over the last few weeks, that tends to cause a lot of people to produce, in the financial community at any rate, to produce some worst case scenarios, such as Saudi Arabia falling or being caught up in a lot of violent protests. Owen and I think have been very specific in saying we think that's an extremely low risk overall. Now, a lot of people have been forecasting there seems to be higher oil prices. That seems to be a consensus. And again, people tend to compete with some of these forecasts. We've had people talking about prices of crude going up to, I think Nomura started it saying $220, and other people talking about 200. And we think that's way wide of the mark. And if we look, as we do every day, at that oil price, and if you look at that oil price, what we see, and Fuller Money's view really has been ever since that climactic selling that we saw at in year-end 2008, and the base development that followed in the first quarter of 2009, followed by an upward break. And we've been bullish from that point onwards, looking for this additional ranging recovery, and then fearing that it would then lead to some sort of spike to the upside, as a lot of subscribers will recall, without knowing about the events that were going to take place in the Middle East. Now, if we cut out all the emotion and just look at the chart, and fall back on the tried and true principles that we use at the chart seminar, we see this ranging overall upward trend that gathers pace, accelerates, and becomes overextended. And against that background, if you've attended TCS, as many of you have, you know when that happens, we say acceleration is unsustainable beyond the short term, and it is an ending of unspecified duration. And once we see evidence that that ending has arrived, as we have in the last week or more, then the conservative assessment is to say that we've seen a peak of at least near-term significance. And that's our view. We've seen a peak here of at least near-term significance. I think it's 50-50, probably, as to whether oil goes a little bit higher or a little bit lower. Actually, I think it's probably a little less than 50-50. I'll put myself in the camp of feeling that the odds are slightly higher that the price of crude oil goes down here. Now, if we see new closing highs, then obviously we're not going to fight the tape on that. And I would conclude that we were going to see some additional gains, but I don't think we have the makings here of a huge move to the upside in oil prices. I think for that to happen, we would really have to have another major disruption to supplies. And I think that's well under a 50-50 chance at this stage, although no one really knows for sure, obviously. Now, the U.S., meanwhile, remains awash with crude oil, so it's been some speculative activity that's caused this last spike upwards in crude prices, as I've mentioned repeatedly. And what we are also seeing, though, partly related to this weaker tone in Wall Street as it's lost upside momentum, has been deleveraging generally. And my feeling is that a number of hedge funds in particular have probably reduced their exposure to various markets quite considerably. And I think a number of people have moved out of these commodity tracker funds. That is what the market activity here suggests overall. So crude oil could quite easily fall back, particularly if we get some sort of satisfactory resolution of the Libyan situation. Meanwhile, we have a delicately balanced supply-demand situation because some damage has occurred to those Libyan installations, and that may an additional fighting would compound that problem. But the point I want to make is that we feel the fears are exaggerated at this stage. Now, we're also looking for some more mean reversion by the Western stock markets, but that's by no means all on the downside. That can include a fair amount of sideways ranging towards those rising 200-day moving averages. Net it all out, and this is a tricky period here overall. And that's what we've been saying, and that's what I think will remain the case for a while longer. When you have as much uncertainty as investors are faced with here today, the natural inclination is to stop buying, do some selling, and just watch and wait. And that puts markets into a corrective environment quite easily. Do we have the makings of a major disaster? Well, not unless I've grossly underestimated what's going to happen with crude oil prices, but I think not. And it's important to remember that we remain most stock markets remain in this cyclical bull market overall. And if we were to get oil prices falling backwards with the NYMEX price moving closer to $90, Brent price coming back below $100, I think stock markets would firm against that background overall, and that, or that would, if not immediately, that that would set the stage for a resumption of the cyclical upward trends by the second half of this year, if not sooner. But in the meantime, we may see, we're very likely to see more of this choppy price action overall. That's can be a little bit hard on the nerves, or some of you might also find it a little less interesting. But you and I can only deal with the reality that markets provide, and I don't think that there are huge opportunities here. But where fuller money themes get knocked back by selling pressure, I think that does create additional buying opportunities. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? We've seen yields come down and bond prices therefore move somewhat higher in the government sector. I think that's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, some short covering, a little bit of perhaps safe haven buying. I don't regard them as a safe haven at all. And I think as soon as some of the uncertainty that's affected sentiment recently wanes, that we will see the bond prices, long-dated government bond prices, range downwards. In other words, yields will range higher. Now, I maintain that yields for long-dated government bonds have bottomed out and are in a base-building stage prior to, well, that's going to last really for quite a long time. It's going to produce a bear market for long-dated government bonds in which yields range higher over a number of years. But I think it's important to think of that as a long-term development. It's not something to expect in the short term. Markets spend most of the time ranging. I mentioned we're still in the base-building phase, but will long-dated government bond yields be higher 5 to 10 years from now? Definitely, in my view. So I will be looking to play that on the short side, as I have been doing, preferably selling on the rallies, and that's bond futures, and buying or covering some of those futures following the sell-offs. In terms of currencies, the dollar, which is weaker today, but it has been a little bit oversold technically, and I am a bit concerned about the dollar. Remain a bit concerned about the dollar, and it's the underlying lack of confidence in the U.S. dollar is exemplified by the fact that it has not proved to be a haven during the Middle East uprisings, and I'm a bit concerned about it. I don't think there are strong reasons for a big downward move at this stage. I think we're more likely to get drifting and ranging here overall. But if that underestimates the dollar's downside, then that would become an additional concern. We started seeing headlines on U.S. dollar weakness. I hope we avoid that. I think, more importantly, I think we're probably likely to avoid that. But it's a higher risk than I would like to see at this stage. In terms of commodities, we have broken, for at least the short term, the back of this very big upward trend that we were seeing in commodity indices. If you look at that continuous, or the CCI, the Continuous Commodity Index, also known as the old CRB, I posted that yesterday, but that's formed a weekly key reversal, quite a a significant weekly key reversal. And so we're going to see some respite there. And that's a good development overall. The food price inflation that we were seeing has dissipated considerably in the last couple of weeks in the all-important grain and bean complex. So that will mean, and that'll be particularly important for Asia, especially that sharp drop in the price of rough rice. And that will lead to a lowering of inflation expectations, and that will mean less pressure on some of the central banks to push interest rates higher. And that will be positive, certainly for the second half of the year, if not sooner, for those Asian stock markets. So that's pretty much how I see it. A tricky period overall. I think, as always happens when you have uncertainty and when you start to get corrections, that people react, markets often overreact. I expect this choppy activity to continue, but I don't think it's I don't think it's a bear market. I don't think we'll get a significant additional spike in crude oil prices anytime soon. Actually, I'm having worried about off and on about crude oil prices for much of the last decade, wondering if the world was going to face a major energy crunch within the next 10 to 20 years or more. I am more relaxed about that than ever before, due to the wonderful technological developments that have taken place that have led for a number of years now for the U.S. to dramatically increase its production of unconventional gas, shale gas. And it is now also tapping the shale oil. And that's something that people didn't think would happen for quite some time, if at all. And yet they're now beginning to extract that shale oil and relatively inexpensively. So what was previously a pipe dream, the concept that the U.S. could ever achieve energy independence, I think is has a reasonable chance of becoming something close to a reality by the end of this current decade that we're in, and it will be due primarily to the U.S.'s development of its natural gas reserves, shale gas reserves, and its shale oil reserves, in addition to the conventional oil that it also produces. And these technologies will be increasingly and fairly rapidly adopted, utilized by other countries that have these similar deposits of shale gas and shale oil. And therefore, Owen and I have been saying for months that we felt that shale gas was a game changer. Well, now we have the shale oil, which is also going to be a game changer. So I can actually say that today I'm more optimistic about the long-term outlook for energy than I have been really for a very long time. And we need these additional supplies because there's little doubt in my mind that the demand for energy will increase in anything, in any environment other than a severe global recession. And my feeling is that it would take an energy crunch to create a really severe recession. So again, with this unconventional gas and oil production, plus don't forget, of course, the development of nuclear power stations over this decade, I think the The world can look forward to, boy, running out of voice here. I think we can be more hopeful about the long-term energy scene than we have been for quite a while. And that's a good note to end on. So, all the best. Have a great weekend.